First Peter chapter 2. Amen. We're going to bounce between there and the book of Genesis today. Yeah. First Peter chapter 2. How is everybody today? Y'all enjoying the beauty of the day? Man, I woke up this morning and I saw the sun shining, and I was out on the tractor yesterday afternoon and just enjoying some time doing work and being with the Lord, and there were bluebirds everywhere. I mean, it was like everywhere I looked, there were bluebirds. And usually I don't see that many. And it was, I mean, I felt like I was in a Uncle Remus movie or something like that, you know, Song of the South. And, there was just bluebirds just everywhere I looked. It was weird. And, but I found joy in it. Because those bluebirds had such joy because they were kind of flitting around and singing and all of that. And just for a little bit, the sun popped out. And they were just, you know, kind of flirting around and just and all these, and I don't know if they were the main ones that were singing, but I was on the tractor and maybe the Lord was just speaking to me, but I could hear birds singing while I was on the above the diesel tractor. And I said, this is stinking awesome. And then Lori came out there and we looked and there was a full rainbow. There was a full, we tried to take a picture of it and it didn't do too good on my phone, but it was a full rainbow. And it looked like that one end was landing right on y'all's house where you live now, and the other end was stretching over to where we were. Didn't it, Lori? And we're like, man, this is so stinking beautiful because what an amazing God that we love and serve. How he loves us. I want this morning to talk about something that the Lord's been speaking to me for a long, long, long time, and every once in a while it'll resurface, and when it resurfaces, I've tried to be in tune enough with the Lord that when He resurfaces it. Sometimes it is just for my sake, but sometimes it's for the sake of others, And the thing that he's really just been resurfacing with me recently is generational legacy. And as I got into this generational legacy and going back, and it's a drum we've been beating for years. You hear it a lot now at Hope Chapel, and Bethel's been talking about it for years, and the Lord's got it really resurfaced again at Hope Chapel, and Damon's been talking about this a lot lately. But it's something that Lori and I have been, the Lord has really tapped us into in that vein for many, many years now, and it's very, very significant to us. And as I get into this, though, the subtitle, I guess, to generational legacy would be, do you believe what I say? Do you believe what I say? And so I want to read scripture. We're going to bounce from 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we're going to bounce over to Genesis chapter 12. And we look at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and often we contrast the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and obviously our dealing and our relationship with God are two different things. The Old Covenant is inferior to the New Covenant because the New Covenant is ushered in by the blood of Jesus. But in the Old Covenant, we see the same heart of God. God's heart didn't change. God still loved the world. God still loved mankind. God still loved humanity. God still loved, He still loved people and wanted to do life with them. We see it in these men of the Bible and men and women of the Bible that God pursues, God captures their heart, God reveals Himself, He pours Himself into them. We see it in Abraham, we see it in Moses, we see it in Joshua, we see it in King David. We see it throughout in the prophets and these individuals, and God's just got this amazing pursuit of them and this amazing relationship with them. And so I feel very confident and very safe to look at this not from a contrast standpoint, but from a reinforcing standpoint. That when He says, I change not, His heart toward us does not change. When He says, I change not, His heart for Adam in Genesis was the same as His heart is for me today. His heart for Abraham when He says, come out and I'll do these things in your life, is the same as His heart for me when He says the exact same thing to me today. And so I don't want to contrast the two. I want to reinforce the two simply by the fact that God does not change through the generations. God does not change through the millenniums. And so we're going to look in a letter that was written by the Apostle Peter in approximately 60 A.D. It was written to scattered believers all over the region at this time. And not just to the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. I'm going to read first out of the King James. And he says in chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Now that "peculiar" is not a great translation. And we'll read the Passion in just a second. But it says, "You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now let me read this out of the Passion translation. He says, "But you are God's chosen treasure." God's chosen treasure. That word "peculiar" in the King James, it actually means that it is a guarded treasure. A guarded treasure. He didn't mean we're weird and we're different from the world. It says that we are beloved to the fact that He puts us in a place that we are guarded. He puts us under lock and key so it's safe from anybody, so that no one will come in and be able to steal it. We are that valuable to Him, Brett House, that He says, "This is significant enough." We have things that are valuable to us, and what do? We put them in secure places. We put them in secure places. Now it's a big thing with emails and all of that, but if it's a value, there better be some security around it. I have a security system in my house, you know. And it's not so much that it's going to let the sheriff know if somebody's breaking in so they can come out in 18 minutes, but it's so I can get my gun out and shoot somebody in the face if I need to. That's why I've got it, because I want to guard what's in that house. I'm going to protect what's in that house. And the Word says in this, God is declaring, Peter is declaring to us that we are guarded treasure. That we're guarded treasure. We are guarded treasure. How many of you men in here, you'd hurt somebody over your family? Any altercations I've ever had, amen, Stephen, I'm with you, brother. Any altercations that I've ever had, always, always, it had nothing to do with me. It was always about my family. I'm talking about since I've been a grown man. All the altercations that I have ever gotten myself into has been because of my family. Because they're guarded treasure to me. And I look around in this room, and not just men, but the women in this room, and you'd hurt somebody over your family, wouldn't you? Not only would you hurt somebody over Danielle, but you'd hurt somebody over the child that Amanda's carrying in her womb, y'all's child that she's carrying in her womb right now. And you would hurt somebody over the thing that was carrying the thing. That's guarded treasure, right? I don't mean to call you a thing, but y'all know what I'm saying. Y'all aren't thing one and thing two. That's what it sounded like, right? My point is that if we, being carnal, if we being flesh and blood, if we being human, and you could go out and the natural world does the exact same thing, that if we would defend with a ferocity things that we place high value on us, why do we think that God will not guard us, protect us, and fight for us when He views us as guarded treasure? He says, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings." We may spend this, do some teaching on this Wednesday night. Priests who are kings. He says that we're royalty. He says we're royalty. We're priest, but we're royalty also. We're priest, but we're royalty. A spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. I like that, and that's where I want to kind of hang my hat a little bit when I talk about generational legacy. But He says that I'm a nation. You know what the Greek word for that nation is? It's ethnos. That sound familiar to us? It's ethnos. Look it up in the Strong's Concordance. The Greek word for nation right there is ethnos. You fill out these forms and it always asks you what your ethnicity is. I really don't like that. I'm like, what difference does it make? What difference does it make if I'm Caucasian, if I'm Latino, if I'm African American, if I'm Asian? What difference does it make? You know? But they always ask you what your ethnicity is. And in this, God said that you are a ethnos. And you know what the word ethnos means in Greek? You know what it means? It means a race. A race of people. A race of people. A tribe of people. A tribe of people. And so he tells me that I'm a nation. He tells me that I'm a race. He tells me that I'm a tribe. I wonder how it would look next time we fill out one of those things when it says other, if I just wrote Yahweh in there. They would probably pull me aside for some kind of serious airport screening or something like that, wouldn't they? They said, we got a fruit job right here. But is that not what defines us? Is the DNA that is in us as His children, as His sons, His daughters? And He comes in and, guys, this is not what I'm saying over myself. This is not what I'm saying over you. This is what God's declaring over you. This is what He's declaring over you. You are a ethnos, a holy ethnos, a holy tribe, a holy nation. And I want to go somewhere with this because we think, well, I'm just part of something big and huge and all of that stuff. I'll be honest with you guys. I can come in and I can be like, you know what? I believe enough about what God says about me and to me and concerning me and all of that stuff. I don't have to have a million people to be part of my tribe for my tribe to be significant. Because before Israel was a nation, you know what Israel was? A family. And before Israel was a family, you know what Israel was? A man. So I fit in that category. That before I'm a nation, I'm a family. And before I'm a family, I'm a man. And he comes in and he says, you are my DNA people. You are a tribe. You're an ethnos. You're a nation unto yourself. I'll be honest with you. I kind of like the swagger of the state of Texas. The state of Texas has got a swagger to it. They do. You know why? Because they think that they're a nation unto themselves. I dig it. I really do. I like going out there. It's big. It's vast. Everything's big out there. I enjoy going out there. I don't love Dallas, but I enjoy Texas. I wouldn't give you a nickel for Dallas, but I love Texas. And part of the thing I love about it is they have got this swagger that they're like, man, we're a nation unto ourselves. You get a little bit of that in Key West. If you go down to Key West, and I know it's from artsy and the lesbian gay community and all that, so it don't carry the swagger like Texas does. They call themselves the Conch Republic. The Conch Republic. Because they say, we are so fiercely independent in who we are that we see ourselves as set apart from everybody else. Y'all be y'all and y'all follow the huddle masses, but this is who we are, and they stand in that. And I love that, the fierceness of identity. And that's missing in the church today, that's missing in Christians today. Because we're more worried about, I heard Damon say this the other day, and about jumped out of my skin. He said, we're more worried about being big than we are being great. And we're going to see it in a second. God comes into Abraham and he says, I'm going to make you great. And then he says, look at the stars of the sky and look at the sand of the sea. Consider the sand of the sea and look in the stars of the sky. And he said, that's where your seed's going to be. But he didn't say, I'm going to make you big. He said, I'm going to make you great. And we're more worried about being big than we are great. I want to be great. Because he says that I am. Because I don't know if y'all were paying attention when I just read this, but you know what he declared over you? And that's not just me. That's every person in this place that calls on the name of Jesus, that is under the blood of Jesus. I could start filling in names right here. I could say, Haven Trantham, you're God's chosen treasure. You're a priest who is a king. You are a spiritual nation, a nation unto yourself, a nation unto Him. Sounds pretty lofty, doesn't it? So, I hate to tell you this, but you're kind of a big deal. You know that. I hope you do. Nick used to say something, and it just, I don't know why, it just cracked me up every time. It still does whenever he says it. He'll come in and say, y'all may not know this, but I'm kind of a big deal. You know, and it was just kind of the posture and the body language. I'm kind of a big deal. And the thing that makes me a big deal is because of what the Word says about me, because of what He says about me. Forget the written Word. How about the spoken Word? I know what He says to me. I know what He whispers to me in private. I know what He whispers me through the pages of His Word. And He comes in and He declares these things. So I've got the audacity. I have got we'll say whatever people say, arrogance or whatever. You know what I call it faith. I've got the faith to believe this about myself. Y'all know what the difference in me and 90% of people that are in church, sitting in church this morning is? The difference in me and 90% of the people that are in church is I actually believe what He says about me. I actually believe what He says about me. That's why I walk the way I walk. That's why I think the way I think. That's why I have the confidence that I have, that I carry through life. That's why I'm not anxious for things. I don't have ulcers. I'm not freaking out about stuff. I've got a peace that is like ridiculous. The Apostle Paul said it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's beyond measure. And it's because I actually believe what God says about me. Did y'all see that? Did you see that? Question is for you this morning is, do you believe what He says about you? Do y'all know I actually think I'm good looking? I do. You know why I believe that? Because of that. Not because of what the mirror says. Because I look in the mirror and I'm like, but because of that. Next month, Lori just celebrated her birthday last week. She turned 55. Next month, we will have spent 40 years together. So Lori is 55, so wrap your head around this, Maya, that she spent 15 years without me and 40 years with me. Did you say she's blessed? Yeah, thank you, Brother Keith. That's what I heard. He said, she's blessed. But you know, the reason that if all y'all hears this and walk out of here, then let he who has ear to hear, let him hear, okay? Hey, you know why I think I'm good looking? Because she's been telling me that for 40 years. She has been declaring that and whispering that for 40 years to me. And you know what? It stuck. Now she probably doesn't. That's okay, because the mirror doesn't say that. Because I look in the mirror and I see bags under my eyes. And I see I'm bald-headed and I see age spots starting to come out. And I'm like, I got to go to the dermatologist and get that checked out, make sure it ain't skin cancer and all that stuff. I used to could bench press 300 pounds. Nick, I don't think I could bench press 200 right now. Because my joints, somebody laughing, like, y'all enjoying this a little bit too much, Justin. That's the reality. My joints hurt. I'm getting cut on in April. But golly, she's been telling me for 40 years that I'm good looking and sexy and awesome and a good man. And you know what? I believe her. Because history bears out that she believes that. Come on. I've had other girls tell me I was good looking when I was 16, 17 years old. But it didn't stick. You know why? Because history didn't bear it out. But 40 years of history bears that out. You know why I'm so confident? You say, man, come on, Sid, get back in. Just tell me what the Word says. I am telling you what the Word says. Let he who has ear to hear, let him hear. See, here's the thing that I'm so confident I believe what God says about me is because He's been saying the same thing. I'm going to mess with you right here. He's been saying the same thing my whole life. Not just when I got saved in 1986. He's been telling me I'm special. He's been declaring that I'm beloved. He's been declaring that I'm His. He's been declaring that I'm a precious treasure. I'm a guarded treasure. He declares in the Word, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. He's been declaring this from the foundations of the earth. And because of that history, that makes it believable. If it says it one time, well, maybe he just don't know me yet. He didn't get a good look. He didn't see what I did last week. Lori had a gentleman, she was with Eden, and Eden's skiing really good. You know, for a four-year-old, she's pretty amazing. I have to brag on my granddaughter. Lori had a person out there, and they asked her this week, they said, how old's your daughter? And Lori's like, let me take off these ski clothes and you'll know it ain't my daughter. She said, actually, it's my granddaughter and I'm four. And see, when God starts saying these things about us, you know what we say. Let me take off all of these clothes and you won't say the same thing. You won't see that I'm beautiful. You won't see that I'm glorious. You won't see and declare that I'm chosen treasure. You won't see that I'm a priest who's a king. Let me get this stuff off because you're confused, God. You might be talking about Heidi Baker, but I know you ain't talking to me. And he said, I know you. I see you. And I still choose you. When Abraham denied that Sarah was his wife and said, oh, she's my sister because he's afraid they were going to kill her, he'd rather let his wife sleep with a pagan king and save his own hide than defend her with a ferocity and say, that's my wife. If you're going to touch her, you got to kill me first. That's what we would do. But God knew that when he called him. He said, I know Abraham's going to do this. I know his son's going to do the same thing. But I see him in his nakedness and I still choose him. The defining factor in your life. I want to tell you something, guys. I fully believe that the thing that is going to define you on whether or not you are a, let me use this term loosely, successful Christian. I ain't talking about heaven and hell. The thing that will define you on whether or not you're a successful Christian or not is if you believe what God says about you concerning you. If you really believe it. Because I'm convinced most of the church doesn't. That's why we require a sign. That's why we require a sign. You remember all the Jewish leaders came up to Jesus when he was doing miracles and teaching and all that, and they said, give us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And he rebuked them and he said, man, you foolish, careless generation. Why are y'all always requiring a sign? And what I've done, has that not been enough? I love the fact of what the guys on the road to Emmaus said, did our hearts not burn when he talked to us? There's your sign. And that's why the church is running around and we're chasing gifting. We're chasing anointing. We're chasing, the Pentecostal church is chasing the supernatural. I have so many people. I want to tell you something, guys. If we started having manifestations of the Spirit like we had 20 years ago, you know what would happen? Within 4 weeks, this church would be packed out. Because they'd rather see somebody fall in the floor or fall in the floor themselves than believe what God says about them. And I like that stuff. Don't get me wrong, man. I spend a lot of carpet time. I dig it. But a big percentage of the people that I saw fall in the floor aren't even serving God today. A big percentage of the people that got the prophetic words aren't even serving God today. And that stuff's good, but I want to tell you something. There's something deeper and there's something better. And you know what that is? That's beloved status. I like it when there's fireworks in this. But I had a feeling that was a river runs deep when I'm standing out there in a pasture and she's on a four-wheeler and I'm on a tractor and we're just sitting there talking, looking at a full rainbow. And that was a holy moment to me. I'm sitting here riding around, working, doing my thing, and I'm looking up here where Rhett and Errol's about to build her house. When I turn around and I see the roof of our house, and then I ease a little bit and I pan my view a little bit and I see Aaliyah and Brett's house, and I so feel, I say, this is where my grandchildren are being raised. And you know what? I feel his presence so strong and him talking so much to me about generational legacy. And I'm like, God, I'll choose this over falling in the floor 1,000 times 1,000. The question is do we believe what he says about us? Do we believe what he says about us? Let me read a couple verses and we got to get to Genesis or I'll be here a while. A spiritual nation, ethnos, set apart as God's devoted ones. Set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. I am my beloved and he is mine. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. What are those glorious wonders? What are those glorious wonders? It's beloved status. If we get anything, we need to get that. The glorious wonders of him is not necessarily miracle, 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 miracle. It is miracle, but the miracle is that God said, I will come in and I will dwell within you and you will be in me. That's what it says in the Gospel of John. I and you, you and me. Me and the Father, him and you. Me and you, you and each other. Dude, you don't get no more supernatural than that. The great mystery of the two shall become one flesh. And he didn't come in and say, tolerate each other in church. You know what Jesus' prayer was? You know what Jesus' prayer was? His prayer was, as I pray to the Father, as he's interceding for them, he said, my prayer to the Father is that you will be one just like he and I are one. Brett, his intercessory prayer, one of the last prayers he prayed on planet Earth before he went to the cross, was that me and you would be so intertwined that we would be like he and the Father. That me and Nick would be so intertwined. Not just, man, church is tough, so just deal with it. And, you know, you're dealing with people. I've made this statement before. I like dogs better than I like people. I have made that statement before. Because dogs are more faithful than people a lot of times. I didn't say it was a correct statement. I said I've made that statement. Usually after being wounded by a person. Or frustrated with a person. And he comes in and he says, I want to do this amazing, glorious thing, not just between you, but between you and Marvin. Not just between that, but between you and Randy. That I want to come in and do this supernatural, amazing thing. And this is what I declare about you. And until we get this, and start believing this, we can't walk in any of that capacity. Because we'll be operating out of a place of lack. But when I start getting this, you know what I'll understand? I'll understand, God, you poured out, poured out on them. Because if he's pouring it out on them, I know there's a river that's flowing. And it ain't like he's going to run out. Come on. That's why I can come in and say, Lord, you poured out on Luke and Amanda. You blessed them. You empty heaven into their life. You know what? Because I know there's plenty to come into my life too. We have to get the mindset that God considers us too big to fail. Y'all remember during the banking crisis back, been several years ago now, y'all remember the banking crisis? And all these businesses were going bankrupt But the government came in and bailed out all the banks, regardless of how you feel about that. The government came in and bailed out all the banks. They even made a movie about it, Too Big to Fail. And the government said that these businesses are too significant to go out of business, therefore we are going to prop them up. And we've got to get the mindset, that's the way God feels about us and believes about us. He views us as too big to fail. Well, I don't see it that way, brother. I just want to be humble on that. Read the word, man, and attach it to yourself. That's the thing that's going to separate you and 90% of people that are sitting in church pews this morning. Is if you actually believe this. He said, for at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet. But now you're drenched with it. Now you're drenched with it. Let's turn real quickly to Genesis 12. Real quickly, Genesis 12. I'm going to hit a few things. I'm not going to try to preach all this tonight. One thing I'm learning is God's not in a hurry, so I'm not going to be in a hurry. That's where y'all are supposed to say amen. Come on, brother. Y'all missed your cue. God's not in a hurry. I've got a feeling I'm going to be preaching again in this house, so I don't have to finish it all today, right? This isn't my one-time engagement. Y'all got Marty next week, but I'll follow up the following week or whenever I get a chance. Now the Lord said in verse 1, I'm reading out of King James on this. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, or Abram, he was still Abram at this time. The Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God is coming in, and God is speaking to one man. Before Israel became a nation, Israel was a family. Before Israel was a family, Israel was one man. Before you say, I don't have the generational legacy and identity working in my life, that's easy for you to say. You came from a godly family, Pastor Sid. I did come from a godly family. I'm just second generation in it. The thing is Abraham came from an idol-worshipping father. Terah. So don't give me that. I don't have that foundation, Brother Sid. Be the foundation. Be the foundation. Be first generation. I want to show you how God is not in such a drastic hurry on concerning your life. Is that God, his father, moved to a place called Haran. And they dwelt there. His father lived 205 years, and God did not tell Abraham to separate himself from his father until his father died. He said, we good, you hang tight. I'm in the long path, I'm in the slow burn. And then God comes in and God declares these things over Abraham. Says, you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be, your seed's going to be like the stars and all that stuff. And then God did absolutely nothing concerning seed for 20 years. God did nothing concerning seed for 20 years. We get upset if it doesn't happen in a week, in a month, in a year. And God comes in and he's like, hey man, this is all going to happen in your house. I've been hearing Damon say this for years, and I love it. He said, you know what Abraham's responsibility in this was when God declared that? He just had to keep chasing Sarah around the tent. He said, that was his responsibility. God said, you're going to have seed that's going to multiply and be like the stars. And we're like, God, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? He said, just keep chasing around the tent. Keep coming into places of intimacy with her. And that's my word for you, as you come in and you're frustrated because things aren't happening fast enough. And I want to tell you, just keep engaging in intimacy with Him. Because He's got this. And the reason I know He's got this, because I know His heart for me. He declares His heart for me in that. He declares His heart for me in the things that He speaks to me. In private. What I feel. In corporate. I love it all. I believe there are things that can only happen in corporate, and I believe there are things that can only happen in private, and I want all of them. I feel sorry for the ones that miss out. Because I said, man, God spoke something to me under that oak tree the other day. Yeah, me too. And you know what He did in a corporate setting? You know what I felt this morning as we were worshiping together? Anybody else feel it? I felt it. And it wasn't the hair standing on the back of my neck because it hit a octave or a note or because Noah's this amazing, talented guy. He is talented. But it was because of the presence of the Lord in a corporate setting. And so He comes in this. And he comes to one man. And He says, I want you to get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, because his father was a what? Idol worshiper. He was a pagan. And He says, I want to establish something in you. And He says, I'm going to take you into a place that I'll show you. I'm going to take you into a place that I will show you. So He's got this thing, and He says, I'm not giving you this formula. He says, I just want you to walk by faith and be led by faith and to believe. This thing of actually believe. 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 The Word says in another place, it says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's the thing that's going to separate you and most of these Christians running around here. I didn't say heathens. I just said, I'll say marginal Christians. They're going to heaven. But do we really believe that's all that Jesus died for so we can make it to heaven? And the thing is, the question is, Brett, do I actually believe what He says about me? And I want to be like Lori with the guy at the ski slopes the other day. He says, will you let me take off my helmet and my goggles and you'll know this ain't my child? And the flesh in me, the man in me that knows my flaws, that knows my sins, that knows my junk, says, Lord, if you really, let me take his helmet and his mask off, and you'll know that I'm not what that says I am. And He says, I see you. I see you. And I know you. And I choose you. Man, that's one thing that makes me smitten with the Lord. I didn't pull a slicky on him like Jacob did his father. I didn't have to put somebody else's, I'm going to fake him off so that he'll think I'm Bill Johnson. You got to fake him off and say, well, I'm associated with so-and-so and I'm part of this and I'm part of this. All right. And you know what we're really doing? We're really coming in and we're putting goat hair on our arms so he'll think we're somebody else. And God says, I am not Isaac and dim of sight. I see you, and I choose you, and I love you, and I declare these things over you. So you need to learn to get real good with that and say, man, if God chooses me, then who's the world to reject me? You got to get out of the big business and get with the great business. And I would say that to everybody that's in anything, man, is that they come in and it's like our validity in life is on how many likes we have on Facebook or how many followers we have on Instagram. That defines our success. Y'all know what God's doing in here is great. You can't convince me otherwise. I come into this place and I am amped up, geeked up. I am so excited to come to church on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And I come, and people's like, well, man, I remember back in the day, it was so much higher. Yeah, and I have them people that were falling in the floor, they ain't even serving God anymore. But I see a people now that have tapped into something that's way deeper than that and way bigger than that. I promise you, the thing that I'm walking in right now, everything else pales in comparison. Pales in comparison, Paul. Just like my love for her now, the love I used to have pales in comparison now. The way it is right now. And you'll see that as it grows. You guys, y'all grow old together. And y'all get to spend another 60 years together. We'll go ahead and 70. We'll go ahead and declare it. I'm good with that. One of God's promises in the Word is not getting raptured out of here, but it's to live a ripe old age. That's one of His promises in the Word. I'm planning on getting real old with her. Real old. And He comes to Abraham, one man. And He says, I'll make of thee a great nation. So I want to get back to generational legacy. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to make of thee a ethnos, a people, a tribe, a clan, if you will. I look at the Scottish and the Irish and all of that back in the day, and you know what? They were real big. The clans were huge. I mean, it's kind of like family over everything. It was family over everything. And I want to be kingdom. I want to be such kingdom family. Y'all have heard me talk about culture lately. You know what I believe culture is? Culture is a like value system. Culture is a like value system and a like pursuit. It's a like value system and it's a like pursuit. We've been as successful in establishing that in our household. God's working on it in this house. That we're establishing a culture that it's a like value system and a like pursuit. Didn't mean we all look alike. Didn't mean we all like the same teams or anything like that. A like value system and a like pursuit. That's culture. You know what it can become? It can become ethnos. And He came in and He said, I am going to make, right here, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. The first thing that He promised him, guys, look at this. The first thing that He promised him was generational legacy. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. Is that the first thing that comes to your mind? Or is it this? That how am I going to flourish? What am I going to enjoy? What am I going to do? How's it going to work out for me? Right? And the first thing God promised him is generational legacy. Generational legacy. I'm not talking about kicking the can down the road. I'm not talking about kicking the ball down the road. Because I've heard that my whole life too. This generation's going to change the world. I am not going to pass that baton to them until it's time to pass that baton. Now I'll come alongside. They can come alongside of me. Let me back up. I'm not coming alongside of my kids. My kids can come alongside of me. My grandchildren can come alongside of me. There will be a day and we will co-labor together. I'm believing God that can I throw something out here that y'all may say, man, you crazy and all that? I am believing God that that He's going to allow us to walk in such a place that we are serving the Lord together five generations. That's just with mine. I'm not talking about my mama. I'm talking about from me down five generations. We're working on three right now. That means that I'm going to serve the Lord with Sidney Hanna's grandchildren. You don't have to believe that for your life if you don't want to. I'm just telling you what I'm believing for. And here's the crazy thing about it, Randy. You know what? It feels right in the spirit. It feels right in the spirit. I believe I'd be going on mission trips with my great-great-grandchildren. I do. You bear witness to it, don't you, baby? She's going with me. See, all this adventure stuff we're doing now, it ain't we getting it done, but getting the bucket list knocked out before we get too old. We're just getting warmed up. This is our getting loose. This is our stretching. This is my stretching. You say, brother, I just don't have the faith for that, because you are not convinced of how he feels about you. You start tapping into being convinced about how he feels about you. You start believing what it says in 2 Peter. Start believing what he says in Genesis chapter 12 right here. I will make of thee a great nation. And then he says, and I will bless thee. Okay, good. And I'll bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curseth thee. That tells me he's going to cover things. I'm not going to teach all this morning, guys. I feel like I need to wrap this up. We'll teach this on Wednesday night. If you can't come on Wednesday night, listen to the podcast. Okay? We're not in a hurry on this. Main thing I wanted to say this morning is for us to start believing what he says about us. Can I show you one thing in this as we close up? Down in verse 7, it said, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So Abraham had gone through into Shechem and the plain of Moreh, and it said the Canaanite was then in the land and all of that stuff. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And you know what Abraham did? He stopped right there. And he built God an altar. He built God an altar. The God that appeared unto him, he built him an altar. You know what he was saying in that? He's saying, God, I believe you. I believe what you said. He didn't say, well, time will tell. We'll see how that pans out. And after you give it to my seed, you know what? Then I'll build you an altar. He stopped right there and he built God an altar. And he worshipped him at that altar. And that altar was not just an altar for that day, but it was a memorial. You know, these altars can turn into memorials. I want moments in my life and places in my life. I want two things to happen to them. I want them through faith and by my belief in what God says or what God's doing. You know what I want it to do? I want it to turn into an altar. And you know what I know? If it's a proper altar, you know what I know it will eventually become? It'll become a memorial. That tells me that Abraham believed God, because he stopped right there and he says, all right, I'm going to build an altar right here. Here's my thing in tying up this portion of the teaching this morning. Like I said, we'll probably be back in it Wednesday night. When is the last time that God told you something, God spoke something to you, that you built an altar right there? When's the last time that you built an altar right there? I'm not talking about a physical altar. When was the last time you built an altar right there? The answer to that question is probably the last time that you actually believed him for what he just said. That's probably the last time you actually believed him for what he said. Let that, Salah. You know why a lot of these words that God speaks to me are real significant to me? Because we stop, me and Lori stop, and we build altars right there. Because we actually believe God for it. And we're not afraid to verbalize it. You know what an altar is? An altar is something between you and God, but an altar is also an outward demonstration to everybody around. That's how it turns into a memorial. It's an outward demonstration and declaration. That's why I'm not bashful about declaring these things. People say, oh man, you're audacious to think that or believe that or arrogant or whatever. And I said, no, I'm just beloved. I just believe what he says. 2016, he declared to us all year we were in breakthrough. Doggone, it sure didn't feel like it and didn't look like it. The books didn't match up with it, Brett. But you know what he was doing? He said, you're breakthrough, you're in 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 breakthrough. You're in breakthrough. I started believing him. I said, all right, God, it don't look like it, but I believe it because you said it. Looking back now, it was breakthrough. I just had to keep chasing him around the room. Amen. Don't quit chasing Sarah. Some of y'all need to believe that for your marriages. Don't quit chasing Sarah. God says you're in breakthrough. I don't know, God. Just believe him. I'm afraid to look at any couples. They're like, see, I think my marriage is bad. That'll help transform some of y'all's marriages. That'll help transform some of y'all's relationships with children, with friends, with family. You know, one thing I wanted to say this morning, we all think, yeah, that's great. You're the spiritual head of the house and you're the patriarch and all of that stuff. I want to tell you about a woman named Rahab. She saved her whole family. You know why? But through faith. Saved her whole household. And I'm pretty sure she got herself included in the book of Hebrews because of it. So any of you single women, any of you widow women, any of you young girls that don't have a husband yet, it can start with you. You got a good covering right here with Eric and Jessica. They love you. You got beloved status right there. So I'm not saying you don't come in under them and say, I'm second generation because I got a spiritual mom and daddy. That's cool. But don't be afraid to say, you know what? This is an ethnos. I'm an ethnos. I'm an ethnos unto my own. I'm an ethnos unto my own. They start telling us crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I mean, he does. He tells us crazy stuff. He came in and told me, I remember the chair I was sitting in Hope Chapel. And he come up next to me, come up inside of me, thermal activity, come on, spring up, old whales. You know what he whispered to me? Financier. 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 That ain't verbiage I use. It's not verbiage I use. You know what I did? I believed him. I believed him. You know what was a testimony of the fact that I believed him? I wasn't afraid to share it with others. Because people are like, I don't want to say that out loud because what would make me look like a fool? Make me look arrogant and all that? That's what the Lord told me. I believed him through faith and it was counted unto me unto righteousness. Last year we had the best financial year we've ever had in our lives. And I've had seasons where I made a lot of money. We had the best financial year we've ever had in our lives. And we gave away more and gave away in Lent more last year than we ever have in our lives. Not just in this place. You know what it was? It was a fruition of a word that he spoke to us. And you know why it manifested? Because I believe God. Because Lord believed God. Well, like, Lord, okay, this is, you know. He didn't say it in January this year. He said that a couple years ago. I told Marty, I said, Marty, this is what the Lord told me, brother. He said, all right. I receive it. I'll get under that tree that bears fruit. This year, he comes in and he says, faith that explores. That was one of his words for me this year. That's what he declared over me this year, over us this year, is faith that explores. Faith that explores. And we've got an adventurous spirit about us. Me and Lori do. We just got an adventurous spirit. We like to go and do, and I've got all these crazy dreams of all of these trips and adventures that we're going to go on and all that stuff. And this is not a let's knock off this bucket list thing. That's not the 50 things and places I want to do before I get too old to do them. And I've even made that statement. You know, man, I got to get started on the sheep grand slam before I get too old and I won't be able to climb a mountain and all that stuff. And you know what? God just spoke this to me this morning. You know what he said? He said, this is just warm up for the fifth generation stuff. I said, all right. All right. This is just warm up. This is just getting ready. This is getting me in shape for that. Do you have enough about you to believe that for your life? Because a lot of church, man, I've had people say, I don't care nothing about your marriage. I don't care nothing about your family. Just preach the word. I've had church members. They're not here anymore, but I've had church members say that. You know why they said that? Because they had no grasp of generational legacy. See, here's the thing is if God is saying it to me, he's going to say the same thing to you. And what he has for me, he's got the same thing for you. And he's got the same thing for you. So let's don't come in and say, well, man, I've got to fake God off into thinking I'm like Sid. No, you don't. You simply have to come as Marvin and Amanda and say, here we are, God. And he says, I know I've been believing for you and speaking over you and loving on you before y'all even got saved. Before y'all even knew each other, I had plans and designs for y'all as a couple. Here's a crazy thing. Can you believe that? Can your faith man believe that? That's a jump. To say, God has got something so in store for my family that we've actually believed what he says about us, that we're an ethnos. We're an ethnos. An ethnos. We're guarded treasure. That's the leap that's gonna take shape in here and turn this into culture. It's when we start believing that for ourselves. That's when we turn into ethnos. And I'm not necessarily talking about Victory Fellowship. I'm talking about a group of believers that come together and say, man, I believe God for this because God spoke that over my life. Quit believing it for others and start believing it for yourself. Bless me, you down there praying with somebody this morning. I looked over and I was like, yes. See, it don't have to be Lori to hear from God and go pray for somebody. It doesn't have to be Tiffany. It can be any of us. That's the beauty of it. Because the thing he spoke over her, he's spoken over you. That 1 Peter 2:9, I'll claim that verse, but guess what? You can claim it too. You can claim it too.
When Sydney was teaching this, the Lord reminded me to share. He teaches me through my kids and all kinds of things, but sometimes the answer to us is no, and we think that he doesn't love us because it's a no. So we were riding the chairlift up, and Eden was with me, and when me and Aaliyah's together, she has a little bit different personality. She's real headstrong and real feisty and all this, but so we're, yep, speaking truth. So we're riding the chairlift up, and we're cutting up with her. And she, you know, she's little on the chairlift, and I'm sitting next to her, and she starts squirming and fighting. And I'm like, you need to stop. And she didn't stop. I was like, you need to stop. And finally I had to really yell, stop, and just grab over to her because I was afraid. She keeps it up. She's going to fall out of the chairlift. But in her four-year-old mind, she can't see that. And so we get off the little lift, and she's mad at me. She's mad. Fire coming out of her. She gets her little skis and she skis straight down the lodge. Was going to take. She pops her skis off and she stomps with that head bobbing in like this. You know, I'm mad at my Gigi. And I'm just laughing, thinking, you little squirt. You know, she just goes in there with this attitude. It takes her a little while to get over that. And God said, how many times have you acted the same way when I told you to do something and it was a no? And Brett, he reminded me of a time when we prayed for an election. You fasted and prayed so, so hard. And we're just believing that our guy was going to get it. And our guy didn't get it. No one was praying for it. And God said, I see the big picture. What if that president getting in was what birthed Lou Engle? What if that birthed the prayer movement? What if he'd let our guy get in? Would that have happened? I don't know, Brett. But at the time, we kind of put a little pity. I did. I don't know if you did, but I was like, I prayed for this guy to win, and he didn't win. And I've had a little pity party. But I have to remember, God sees the whole big picture when we always don't see the whole big picture. Eden and her four-year-old self couldn't see, Gigi's just keeping me safe. She couldn't understand that, and she got mad at me. So as we're going along this journey, we have to understand that's where the trust and that's where the faith comes in. That we trust our Father. That when He says no to something, that He's seeing the big picture. He sees hundreds of years past us. This life is but a vapor. We have to trust Him for those hundreds of years. Amen. That was all I had. That's all I wanted to
know. Let's stand to our feet. We'll pick back up in the Genesis on Wednesday night. As you leave today, I want you to ask yourself, what will I believe concerning what He says about me? And as I said a while ago, a good litmus test is when's the last time you built an altar on something? When's the last time you built an altar on something? When is the last time you built an altar on something? And that'll tell you when the last time you really believed God on that thing that He said. So this week I want you to go out with a heightened awareness of that. Heightened awareness of that. Let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said that more than anything. And see what He says to you. See what He says to you. Alex, see what He says to you, brother. About you. And about your family and about your marriage and about the generational legacy. About the children. And when He does, man, let's latch on and let's believe it. Because I'm not propping you up, He is. I'm not propping you up, He is. Amen. Y'all have an amazing week this week. Y'all be blessed. Just remember the things that we got going on. You know, check your emails, text, and all that good stuff. If you if still got two mission trips coming up, if you're interested in going, see me. Yes, please. I did. Thank you. I did need that. I've got one request, guys. We're going in like 2 weeks. We're leaving like, if you want to go, you can still go. Just get an airplane ticket and then write Marty and Chris a check for $650 after that, and you can still go with us. So anybody spur of the moment, you're like, yeah, man, I want to do it. Jump on, man. All you need is an airplane ticket. Like I said, $650, and that covers everything else. And the February trip's a little bit cheaper trip because airfare's cheaper. But one thing that I do request from the church, we need, especially now that some of the items are easy, but if you have any baby clothes from young babies, we're going to the hospital one day and we give out baby clothes. You say, man, I can't go. Then do me a favor. That's fine. Number one, pray for us. Number two, if you can go to Walmart and buy some little Carter 6-month-old stuff, Lori, or if you've got it, if it's in good shape, bring it. We'll take it. I'm carrying extra suitcases and carrying stuff down there. So, that's a big thing. We can buy diapers and wipes and all that stuff down there. But secondly, you know what we give out in the villages and in the hospital and all that stuff. We give the little boys Hot Wheels and all of that stuff. So man, you can buy a Hot Wheel for $1. So if you can't go with us, then sow into that nation. So in the small stuff, little small, you know, Beanie Baby stuff, you know, we're going to carry a couple extra suitcases and, clearance rack at one. Lori came in from somewhere the other day and had a pile of stuff and I was kind of, ooh, and it wasn't that much, you know, dollar wise. So if y'all can do that over the next 2 weeks, that would be tremendous. Bring it Wednesday, bring it Sunday. We'll put it in Errol's office. We'll store it back there, and she can put it somewhere. But just remember that coming up. And, man, that's it. Y'all have an amazing week. Take the word that God spoke to you today, and let's run with it, okay? By faith, let's run with it. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Man, I think let's just do that. A lot of days we're peace and we're gone. But let's dismiss in prayer.
Father, we just thank You for this word. Lord, we ask You to just to breathe upon each heart in this place, Lord, that seeds could be planted and perhaps dormant seeds could come forth as You breathe on those, and that dry bones could live again. Father, we just ask You that You would just lead and guide us through this week, and through Your Spirit, through Your grace, and in the name of Your Son, we just ask You to help us believe some new things that You've said perhaps today for the first time, but also, Lord, just things that you've spoken perhaps in times past. And we just thank you by faith for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.